Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tech and Tea podcast with Joshua Vergara. What's going on, everybody? All right, so finally back to putting the audio podcast up. I know that I put a segment of this podcast already on my YouTube channel, and then some people were asking why the last episode was from February. Well, okay, so on top of the fact that we are living in a very weird time right now, which weirdly for somebody like me turned into a very busy time. I mean, obviously we've had a lot of different releases over the last few weeks. On top of all of that, I have been trying to sort of retool the podcast, the audio version at least. I wanted to move it over to a new host and just sort of simplify the overall process. And then of course I wanted to do a bit of a redesign on it, which is why you're seeing a new icon in your podcasting app right now. Now the icon, or rather the logo for Tech and Tea, you can see it already. I just want to give a quick shout out to my homie Nim, who you can find on Instagram at Rocksteady Design Print. That's all one word, obviously, and it's spelled exactly the way it sounds, Rocksteady Design Print. So it should be easy for you to find him. Nim is actually also my classmate, and in a way, my senpai, from the martial arts academy that we both train at. And then he and I, of course, are good friends, and he's been able to create not only the logo for Tekken T, but also the logo for my general branding, which is my three-finger salute that says JV. So like any good podcast, I will make sure to shout out the sources of my various media, like the music and also the logos. You can find all of that in the show notes. And also at the beginning here, I just want to give that shout out to Nim over at Rocksteady Design Print on Instagram. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into this episode. I have Nick Gray, the editor-in-chief of Fandroid, on, and we pretty much did a long-form discussion regarding OnePlus as a whole. Of course, the OnePlus 8 Pro and the OnePlus 8 were recently released. It was probably the biggest story of the week up until the iPhone SE 2020 was released, but I'm going to save that for our next episode coming up. From there, though, we do talk about how OnePlus fans feel a little bit slighted by the fact that their company, which created the budget category pretty much, now no longer is a budget flagship killer. Instead, you're looking at OnePlus as a literal flagship company. After all, OnePlus did try to do that with the OnePlus X, and that's exactly the example that I bring up from before. And if you haven't noticed already, the OnePlus X segment that I talk about was what I cut up for the YouTube channel. Speaking of which, head over to youtube.com/Joshua Vergara to follow my main content there, which is supplemented, of course, by this, Tech and Tea with Joshua Vergara. All right, with all of that said, all the housekeeping is done. Let's go ahead and get into this discussion that Nick and I had on IG Live. All right, so we're going to pop in to the OnePlus 8 Pro, the OnePlus 8. There are a number of different ways that I wanted to tackle this, this topic. Obviously, the announcement was this morning, and due to the fact that we're all pretty much on lockdown, it was a remote keynote. I woke up. I was lucky enough to have remembered to set an alarm minutes before the show started. So I woke up, I hit play, and then I fell asleep again with the phone on the pillow like this. But yes, I did see what I saw in and out of consciousness. But yeah, what we're looking at here are the new versions of OnePlus's flagship phones. And there are a lot of little debates here. I think the first thing I want to start on is the OnePlus 8 Pro, because most of our videos are on the Pro, at least for the moment, at least in my case. So quick thoughts, not quick, thoughts rather, from you on the OnePlus 8 Pro.
Thoughts on the Pro. I will say this. My initial thoughts were all jaded by the price, because that's... honestly, like, there's a lot of reasons why people buy OnePlus devices, but the price was one of the main reasons why OnePlus devices were so attractive from the get-go all those years ago. And with the new $899 price point for the base model of the OnePlus 8 Pro, that's significantly more expensive than what we saw last year. It's $230 more. It's like a 33% price increase from last year, which... I mean, yes, it's still cheaper than other flagship devices, but if you put it into the context of a 33% price increase, a lot of people are going to be disappointed with that. That being said, the hardware of this phone is fantastic. I mean, even if you do compare the price to other flagship devices, this phone comes out on top. Simply when you're looking at the specs for most devices, I mean, the cameras could be a little bit better here and there, but as far as everything else goes, you finally get wireless charging, reverse wireless charging, and an IP rating, which people have been asking for years.
Yeah.
I mean, OnePlus hit it out of the park, but there's still going to be people who are going to be disappointed with it.
Yeah, and I'm already seeing that. I remember when the keynote was pretty much done, there were just massive amounts of messages in that live chat of just rip, rip, F, 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 rip, rip. Like, so I guess instead of just talking about the 8 Pro, we can talk about price in general, because I know that that's the biggest point of contention for a lot of people. And I'm on both sides of the fence, to be honest. I'm literally just sitting on the fence right now, because I agree that the OnePlus of old is something that we don't have anymore, but I also don't think that it's that much of a big deal when you compare what this phone offers to everything else. You're literally asking a company to provide everything you want, that you expect from a Samsung, that you expect from an LG, that you expect from even an Apple, let's just throw that in the mix. But you're expecting OnePlus to be like, okay, let's make it $500 or let's make it $400. Like, a lot of people out there, I feel like, need to understand that this is still a business and it's still the cost of phones, at least right now. We used to be in a place where flagship phones were $600, and yes, we all miss that. But when you compare this phone to the full-on flagship phones of the year, it's right there at least a $100 discount comparatively.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying, compared to the competition, that you are getting your money's worth. The issue comes into play is that OnePlus has a devoted following, and this devoted subset of customers have been used to paying significantly less than what the competition has offered. This year around, if you take the Pro, I mean, there is no denying that this phone can go head-to-head with the Samsung Galaxy S20 Plus and even some specs on the Ultra. I mean, the Plus is a $1,200 phone at launch, but now Samsung's dropped its phone's price by $200. So this phone is only now $100 cheaper than Samsung's top-tier offering, you know, the mainstream, not the Ultra. So, I mean, when it used to be, it was $200 to $250 less.
Yeah.
And that's where the issue is. It's they're looking at the competition now, and OnePlus has made such a dramatic jump on the price that people are freaking out about it a little bit. And honestly, it's still a good phone for the price, but you've set the standard of you get the best. We've left out a couple key features, and for that, we've dramatically reduce the price compared to the competition. But now they've added in those key features because they truly want to compete. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where the 8 comes in. That's why I think they're finally making the 8 available in the US versus last year only making the 7 Pro available in the US, is that it does come in $200 cheaper than the Pro does. It is missing some of those key features, but it's more in line with what we would expect from a OnePlus device as far as the feature set and also the price.
So with that in mind, I guess my question here is, because I had this talk with Thunder E, Mr. Bored at Work, while we were both in the throes of our late night editing sessions, which is worse for him because he's 3 hours ahead, as are you. And the what he was saying was that you would compare the OnePlus 8 Pro to the S20 Plus because, like you said, the prices are very comparable. Also, the feature sets are a little bit comparable, but that's where I sort of differ. I understand why that comparison would be made, but I more often would choose to look at a company's number one pro highest level flagship compared to another company's number one highest pro flagship. So in this case, it would be the 8 Pro versus the S20 Ultra. And when you look at it in those terms, that's when I'm like, yeah, I mean, the 8 Pro is basically... it's basically just reminding users that some of the extras that you're getting on all of these other phones are price gouges, and they're not ultimately useful, and you're paying for things that you ultimately won't use, like 100 times zoom or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so 100 times zoom, we can all admit, is a marketing gimmick, but the 5x zoom that you get out of that periscope camera is phenomenal. Versus you get an 8-megapixel sensor here that's called a zoom lens that offers hybrid zoom, which is 100% digital. So, I mean, there are fundamental differences in the hardware between the Samsung Galaxy S20 Ultra and the zoom camera here. I mean, that's why, I mean, if you compare... So these two phones. This is the Oppo Find X2 Pro and the OnePlus 8 Pro. Technically, these phones are pretty much identical, save for that periscope camera that the Oppo has. I mean, these are sister companies, and they're using the same 48 megapixel sensors for their standard and ultra wide cameras. Front-facing cameras are exactly the same. The displays on these phones are exactly the same, except this one here is, what, $1,200 or $1,300, the Find X2 Pro. And that's one of the reasons for that is the periscope camera that actually is helpful versus the digital one that's on the 8. I mean, hardware costs money. We all know that. But yeah. I think OnePlus is kind of, it carved a niche in the market for itself based off of certain things. I mean, you look at software, people buy OnePlus devices for the software. You look at design, they buy it for the design, but also price point was one of those things. You get these flagship level things at a specific price point that's significantly lower. And I just think they've, and for me, that was one of their main selling points. Losing that is tough when I like, I'm not going to deny that this is probably the best 5G smartphone that you can buy under $1,000. There's denying that. I mean, you can't get around that. But there's still a sense of disappointment. It's like if Honda was saying, hey, we want to compete with Mercedes. Like, yes, Honda can build a car that can compete with Mercedes, but it's still a brand 60, thing. Like, you don't want a $65,000 Honda.
Civic.
Or an Accord. Let's bump it up a little bit. You know, you go for the Accord. But you can't buy a $60,000 Honda Accord.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if you bought a $60,000 Honda Accord, it would be like the performance package with extra rims and all these extra, while these other devices have luxury features that are true luxury, and they're not really competing on the same level. And it's a brand thing. It's simply the positioning of the brand. Nobody wants a $60,000 Honda, but they'll pay for a $60,000 Accord or a Mercedes. Like they've differentiated the brand in different ways, and they've said this is luxury or this is flagship tier, and they're trying to compete there, but they don't have the brand recognition in order to do so.
And I totally get that, and I'm not trying to minimize any of the, as you said, disappointment that some of the fans of OnePlus might be feeling right now. I totally get that. And you know what, like without getting into too much detail, that's also how I felt as a fan of Xiaomi, because the Mi 10 Pro is actually a pretty damn expensive phone now.
It's a great phone. Yeah. And it's expensive, yeah.
Yep. But here's the thing. I guess what I'm advocating for is a certain shift in perspective, because it matters exactly how you weigh the features that are actually what you pay for and what you get. So if you look at the S20 Ultra, it's a large screen, 120 hertz refresh rate screen, 100 times space zoom, whether or not that's useful to you or not. But that is what you're paying for. That's what you get above and beyond on that, including things like DeX support, if that's something that you want, and a few other things other than that. But for $899, let's say, for the 8 Pro, 30-watt fast wireless charging, you get 120 hertz and quad HD at the same damn time, which I still think is, like, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for still a good battery that can get topped up using wireless charging in probably one of the most impressive wireless charging, like, methods I've ever seen. And it's right behind me, but I'm using it with... By the way, quick tip, the wireless charger for OnePlus, if you do get it, it does work with other phones, so it is ultimately useful. But it's a matter of weighing the feature set correctly. And I think that the way OnePlus weighed their feature sets in their flagship phone is properly relative to what other flagships are offering. So that's the reason why I look at it and I'm like, I get it, you know, like it's fine by me. Maybe OnePlus is not the flagship killer type, because now they are a flagship.
So they've changed their position in the market. So they're still delivering incredible hardware, incredible software, but by shifting the price up to where it's at now, they want to compete with the other brands in that segment for premium devices. But I'll come back to, that's why the 8 exists now, not just the 8 Pro in the US, because it gives people the option to say, I want OnePlus, I want some of these features, I want the speed, I want the reliability, I want the software, but I don't want to pay the price. And that $699 price point is significantly less than anything else on the market within that same segment.
Yeah, indeed. Shouts out to Jaime real quick. He says, typing on a OnePlus 8 Pro. this chat is turning into it's a gallery of the privileged, because David's in here as well, because we all have 8s and 8 Pros right now.
But so I was just using the OnePlus 8 Pro, and you know, Jaime's saying typing on the OnePlus 8 Pro. I found it difficult to type on the OnePlus 8 Pro and the 8. The OnePlus's edge detection, palm rejection algorithms are simply not up to par when comparing to other devices with the curved screen. I don't know. Have you had same issues?
I haven't really had an issue with the typing per se. I will admit, though, that I went into Gboard and changed a couple of the settings so that it was more comfortable, especially for swipe typing. Mm-hmm. But what I have noticed, and I've noticed a few other people saying it, is that, now granted, handling on a phone is very important to me because I don't have very large hands, you know, but I will say that the handling of the 8 Pro is a little bit better than I expected it to be, yet the curve on the display still causes palm rejection issues. I still have that problem. And it's a bit annoying, I will say. But just straight touch typing, like tap-tap typing, I haven't really had a problem with that.
Yeah, I've had, especially hitting keys on the edge of the screen, I've had so many mistypes. As I was typing to you a couple messages right before we got on, I was like, delete, 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 retry that. Like just hitting the space bar, which is right in the middle. Mm-hmm. I was hitting keys on the side of the screen with the edge of my thumb right over here. I don't know what it is. Hopefully they will have a software update to fix some of that edge rejection.
Yeah, for sure.
Palm rejection.
Especially if you use swipe gestures for navigation. That is definitely something you'll notice, is that, you know, when you're trying to swipe from the corners or from the sides in order to go backwards, like, since you're used to doing that, your hands are always naturally in those positions and you're going to start touching stuff like without realizing
it.
Speaking of, tangent, Jaime was joking with us, get bigger hands, which reminds me of a funny thing. So everyone's obviously like doing what they can to stay healthy during this quarantine era. And being a person who wears glasses, I am wearing masks when I go out, but my masks always fog up. I saw someone post, when they looked online for solutions to that problem, one of the tips was get LASIK. It's like, that's not...
Get LASIK, man. Get
LASIK. That's not helpful.
You can't get LASIK right now. Sorry.
Exactly.
It's an elective procedure.
But you know, I spent a lot of time with the OnePlus 8 Pro really loving what I love about it. And, you know, it definitely outweighs the cons, in my opinion. There's so many things about it that are really enjoyable. I'm a media/mobile gamer guy, which is why the screen actually really impresses me. But as far as like complaints are concerned, because I will put out my top 5 complaints video tomorrow, I'll just give a teaser to anybody that's in the chat right now. One of them does have to do with the design, because with OnePlus putting out the 8 and the 8 Pro, it's making it very clear to me that in this era of smartphones in 2020, we are definitely moving away from pop-up cameras, motorized cameras, all of that. We are officially saying goodbye to all of that stuff. It was so short-lived, and I'm so disappointed by it. Not that I particularly liked the motorized camera in the 7 Pro, but I loved that it was a thing. And it's definitely not a thing anymore, because it's just punch holes all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, along that route, talking to OnePlus, they said one of the reasons why the pop-up camera went away was to give the 8 Pro that IP68 water and dust resistance rating, something that people have been longing for a very long time. I would say if the trade-off was that pop-up camera or IP rating, I would go for the IP rating every day. But I'll have to admit, the 7 Pro looked amazing, and having that pop-up camera made it stand out from pretty much any other phone that was on the market in the US. If you're an international buyer, there's plenty of devices out there that have had pop-up cameras, but I think the 7 Pro was one of the only ones in the US that had one, unless I've forgotten something else.
It was. And OnePlus has been that pioneer in the US. They were the first to put an in-display fingerprint reader, and then they were also the first to have a pop-up camera in the US. So, like, there is a certain pioneering that OnePlus had, and now it's like, okay, we're going to get in line. The only thing we're really going,
they're just, well,
okay, I shouldn't say that because 120 hertz.
Hasn't Oppo done one of their concept phones with an in-display camera that's below the display without the punch hole?
Oh yeah, definitely. But that's
so I mean,
hopefully OnePlus will be able to bring that here.
It works. Maybe we'll see it the second half of the year with one of the T devices, but I don't know.
T Pro.
Like, I'll have to say this. Oppo, for those who don't know, OnePlus and Oppo are sister companies. They are some of the largest brands in China. I think Oppo is ranked number 4 or number 5 as far as smartphone manufacturers go. And what is it? Oppo, Redmi, and what's the other one?
Which one? For like a budget?
The other sister company for Oppo.
Not that
they have the
Vivo.
Vivo, yeah.
Vivo, yeah. So, here's John 2017 said Vivo.
So Oppo, OnePlus, and Vivo and Redmi are all sister companies owned by the same conglomerate, and they make up like position number 4, 5, and 6 as far as the largest smartphone manufacturers in the world. And if you add them all together, they're larger than Apple and Samsung. Mm. So it's one of those things, like, it's still one of these unknown brands for people in the US, but it's a massive company with huge R&D budgets, and they are pushing the limits in other areas, like, you know, in display fingerprint sensors, under screen cameras that don't have a punch hole. So we have a lot of innovation on the back end that is slowly making its way to the consumer end. Everyone looks at Samsung as, you know, a leader in displays, but you know, there's other companies out there that are pushing the technologies forward as well. And OnePlus is not necessarily the company behind it, but their parent company is.
Yeah. Okay. So we can pivot into a different side of the same story. I want to make sure we look at, well, at least for me, because it's easy to focus on the Pro because it has, you know, the highest end specs. It's obviously the more premium device. But, you know, we definitely have to still give some love to the regular OnePlus 8. There are still a few things that are really awesome about this smaller phone. So I guess my question here is, like, why should people not sleep on the OnePlus 8? It is the one that I think Oppo did a really good job of building to make it as attractive as possible, because it's the only one with this interstellar glow on here. Because this is the eye-catching phone for the kind of person, the general user who walks into a T-Mobile store or a Verizon store, and this is what catches your eye right here. And it's also the only one that's available. So why, let's talk a little bit about the OnePlus 8 and why people who may or may not want to buy on Amazon or OnePlus.com the Pro, why this will be an easier sell, especially on a carrier.
I think we need to just start off with the differences between these two devices. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they look pretty similar. I mean, the display technology is pretty much the same. You get a higher refresh rate on the 8 Pro than the 8. It's only a 90 hertz refresh rate on the 8, and it is a lower resolution at 1080p. But between these two devices, honestly, I've been loving the 8 a lot more than the Pro. It's lighter, it's slimmer, and just a slightly smaller build that just for me fits better in my hand. It does have some camera downgrades. It's using an older sensor for its main sensor, even though they both have 48 megapixel sensors. The one on the 8 is the same one as the 7T Pro from last year, which is still a really great camera. The only real difference is going to be in low light performance when you compare the two. And the ultra wide camera on the
13,
8.
I think.
16 megapixel for the ultra wide.
I thought it was a 13. But I will say this also, though, like, as far as extra cameras go, that macro lens, not that great.
It works,
like,
really good.
Well, it works well in terms of distance, but I feel like the quality is definitely a lot lower using a dedicated macro lens compared to the way that the Pro manages to make
the
macro.
The Pro, yeah. So the Pro uses its ultra wide 48 megapixel ultra wide camera for the macro, and that works really well. I think the issue is it's a macro camera and it's only 2 megapixels.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, if you look at, I'm like, that's here's what. Shut up, Google. I can't remember the last time I used a 2 megapixel. What was it? The T-Mobile G1. 2 megapixel camera.
These macro lenses show up on a lot of Chinese phones, so there are actually quite a few of them that are like maybe 2, 4, 6. So yeah, I've used quite a few of them.
My question is, I'm like, who's still making 2 megapixel sensors? Is this something left over from a flip up camera from 10 years ago that was just stuck in a warehouse?
It's HTC's leftover stock from there.
it could be. I mean, but honestly, like, losing a dedicated zoom camera for a macro camera, like, how many times do you take macro photos? And of those times, how many times did you say, man, I wish I could get this much closer? Because the regular sensors on most devices can take photos at 2-3 inches, mm-hmm. even closer than that. Because, I mean, the depth of field with these lenses isn't, you know, that shallow. So, I mean, you can get in really close to subjects. But having a dedicated camera just for the macro, honestly, they could have just left that out.
Yeah.
Save $5 and call it a day.
How much do you, like we were talking about weighing the features of the Pro, how much do you weigh the loss of wireless charging on the regular OnePlus 8?
I'll say this. If you've never used wireless charging, you're not going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And if you've never used wireless charging and it's 2020, there's no reason to get wireless charging. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone like me who has 5 wireless chargers around, I have 5 wireless chargers around. I rarely use them.
Yeah.
Like I have one on my desk and I have to, I plug in my phone all the time. My Pixel 4 is right here and I plug it in all the time rather than just throwing it on the charger, just because I can look at it while it's charging rather than having to take it off the charger to look at the phone.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Pixel 4 doesn't work on the OnePlus wireless charger, does it? I think it's the one phone that didn't work, now that I think about it. Because my iPhone is on there right now. Yeah, my iPhone's on the OnePlus charger right now.
I'll check after this. No, so, I mean, wireless charging is very convenient. It's an amazing feature. Every phone should have wireless charging, but I wouldn't not buy the 8 because it doesn't have wireless charging. Especially OnePlus fans, they haven't had wireless charging up until now. So it's not like they are losing a... I mean, if you have, you know, the 7T or the 8 or the 6 or the 6T, it's a feature that you haven't had. So it's not like it's going to dramatically change your life. If anything, it will... So... save you $200 from getting the Pro and also save you $30 to $70 depending on what wireless charger you're going to get. So by, you know, you save extra money by not getting it.
Yeah. And you know what, like the 15 minutes it takes to top up a phone on a wired charger is still incredibly indispensable. And okay, so we talked about this a little bit with the LG V60 ThinQ, because at the time we weren't allowed to talk about this, but now I can very much say that this is the cheapest, most affordable 5G high-end smartphone you can ask for, because Snapdragon 865, you have high amounts of RAM and storage, expandable storage missing. That actually hurts me a little bit because I am shooting a lot of 4K cinematic aspect ratio video, because it is an option. The 8 Pro review unit, for example, only has 128 gigabytes of storage. I'm already down to like 70 left. Like I've shot a lot already.
What did you do? Shooting video all day long?
Pretty much. Like I'm trying to do like a real world camera test, but I'm obviously stuck in mm-hmm. my house, so it's a work from home camera test. So the first like minute of that video ultimately is going to be me making coffee, but it's like a bunch of shots of that one task.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, so I've used 6 gigabytes of photos and videos, so I have 80 gigs left.
Granted, the first thing I do when I set up a phone is I sync it up to whatever phone I'm using at the moment, and based upon what apps are on there, they all come to the new phone, obviously. So it's just the Google sync.
You're doing it wrong. You need to start fresh every time. Get rid of all that old garbage.
I used to do that all the time, but now it's like, you know what? I don't want to have to keep searching for my apps one by one in the Play Store anymore. If they're all listed in the initial setup, I want to do that. Because of that, a lot of games move right over, and that takes up a lot of space immediately.
That takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, that's the one.
No, that's one of the reasons why I stopped, because every so often you get a review unit that's a 64 gigabyte model, and then you're screwed right from the very beginning.
Yeah, I do pick and choose, though, because there are times when you do the full transfer over, and the last thing you want on a, let's say, a OnePlus device are all of the Samsung apps, for example. So it's like really annoying when that happens. But yeah, the OnePlus 8, definitely like one of the most affordable 5G phones currently. But the whole 5G debate right now, whether or not it's actually useful, it's something that I got really up in arms about. I remember near the end of 2019, because so many phones were starting to get 5G, yet they were really expensive. So it made me think that in order to have 5G, it just made the phone cost so much. It's just a big expense. But now with the LG V60 first off, but now this OnePlus 8, it's kind of showing that, you know, 5G is going to be at least a normally priced feature from now on. And I'm happy that that's the case, because $699 for this is actually pretty good. Like, it's been a while since we've had a flagship, quote unquote, flagship phone be around the $600, $700 mark.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's, I don't know, the OnePlus 7T that launched last year, I think it launched at $559 or $599. Like, I can't remember, but like right now you can buy the 7T for $499. So $200 less. And honestly, the only real difference between the 7T and the 8 is 5G and 5G, the new Snapdragon 865 processor. So is the new Snapdragon 865 and 5G connectivity worth $200? I mean, if you had the choice right now, and you weren't one of the people who has to have the latest and greatest flagship, but if you were on the market and you had $800 in your bank account and you could buy the 8 or the 7T, which one do you buy?
Yeah, well, between those two in particular, yes. But if I had to actually put my money down, I'm still a big fan of last year's S10, to be fair. So if I really had
that's
to pick
more expensive.
A phone from
Isaac, I mean, that's even more expensive, though.
Yeah, but $800 still covers it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Then you have no extra money for your face masks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, that pretty much exhausts most of what we wanted to talk about with the OnePlus 8 and the OnePlus 8 Pro. I will spend the next maybe 5 minutes. Let's go through our comments here for a little bit. There was one way back. Let me see if I can scroll. This is always the most tedious part, is trying to scroll all the way back in the live chat. Come on, Rowan. I know Rowan had a... He had a... Oh, frick. Just like do one really good... Oh, David Amell said, super jealous that you got the green. It's fire. Yeah, if you can call it that, like green, like it, every time I shot a photo of that thing, I was like ocean blue. It really does not look quite so green to me.
I have never seen it green. It is blue. Like, yeah. I don't know what they're smoking. I mean, the edge of the phone kind of looks a little bit more green, but the glass on the back with the reflections always looks, it's like an aqua blue.
Yeah, aqua blue.
Like
yeah,
tropical blue. Ocean blue or something like that. I don't know. It looks like you're going to the beach.
Yeah. So I found the comment, and it actually reminded me of the last little topic that I wanted to talk about here, which will ultimately be a commentary segment on the channel. Rowan wants, the price is 100% okay. I just personally can't justify spending that much money on a phone, and I've found mid-range phones have gotten really good. So with that in mind, I wanted to bring out this notion. Tell me what you think about this. OnePlus, it's time to bring back the OnePlus X. Because for years now, OnePlus has been trying to kill flagships, when in reality, what they were trying to prove is that they can make a flagship. Nay, now they can. Mid-range specifications are actually so good now that OnePlus can put out a Snapdragon 765G phone for $449, for $500, and that thing will sell like hotcakes, especially right now, because a lot of other companies are doing the exact same thing. Rumors of another iPhone are coming out. The Pixel 4a obviously is an idea. The Pixel 3a last year showed us that mid-range phones can be a very viable market, and if OnePlus can bring back a storied, like just very short-lived line in the OnePlus X and hit those marks with today's mid-range specifications, I think that's the phone that everyone's waiting for.
I don't know. So here's the thing. Like, OnePlus has never been one to dilute its brand. And when it put out the OnePlus X, it very quickly stopped selling the OnePlus X and said, we are only focusing on our flagship tier devices.
They made some very key mistakes with the OnePlus X, though. Like, some very
key mistakes. This is true. But, I mean, the key mistakes weren't necessarily mistakes. It was mid-range segment for the time, and that's where things were at, right? Like, it's not like they were mistakes compared to other mid-range devices. It was mistakes compared to the OnePlus brand and other flagship tier devices. So again, it comes back to that expectation that I was talking about earlier. They've been trying to compete upward in the brand categorization, and with the OnePlus X, they were trying to compete downward. So it was just threw things into confusion. Like, it wasn't necessarily a bad phone. It was just confusing, and people didn't know what to do with it because it didn't live up to their expectations of what the brand was offering. And that's where my issue kind of lies, is why put out a mid-range phone when they could simply keep last year's phone in production? If you look at it right now, OnePlus does not, like, the OnePlus 7 Pro has not been available to purchase in the US for 2 months, since January, I think. Like, they stopped selling their flagship phone 2 months ago, 3 months before the 1 year anniversary of the phone. Why kill off an old device when you could simply keep that old device and use that as your, kind of like what Apple does. They keep, what, two generations of old devices in the mix that they continue selling, and every year they just bump them down by $100 or $150. They could do that. I mean, if, you know, the OnePlus 8 or the OnePlus 7 Pro was still available, last year it sold for $669, now it's selling for $569, that would be an amazing phone, and I would rather buy that than a OnePlus X, a new version with a mid-range spec.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. It's a very pragmatic way of looking at it, and I agree that from a business standpoint, it might be a very pertinent thing to do. After all, Samsung does the same thing with the S10 line. It's still around. You can still get it. But that same company, Samsung, created the A line. And now the A50 and the A whatever's, the A51, a lot of people are looking at because it is a 765G phone, 5G phone also, for about $500. It has triple cameras. You know, it's still a really good spec for that price. I imagine one of the reasons why it might turn out that way, that these companies are creating a mid-range segment every year, is because stock of the previous components might not be as available anymore for them to continue that production. Because obviously Qualcomm wants to be putting out 865s. They're not going to just keep making 855s just because they still want to have last year's phone still. But that's just my speculation. Don't take that as a quote or anything. But I do think that if OnePlus is able to have a mid-range line, I mean, even people in the live chat are saying that would be a really nice prospect. It would probably recapture a little bit of what people are disappointed in losing with OnePlus as a brand, that more affordable price point.
So besides the chipset downgrade to the 765, what other downgrade would you be willing to concede to get that price point? Because the price point between a $449 and a $699 phone, simply changing the chipset's not going to give you that price difference. You need to give up something else.
Yeah.
I mean, so you would be going from a 6.6 inch or 6.7 inch to a 6.2 inch device or smaller, a 5
and typically
a 6 inch device. And then
1080p, battery. not high refresh rate, smaller battery, maybe no wireless charging, potentially no wireless charging. The cameras are going to be still decent but not have the high megapixel count, so you're probably looking at like a maybe a 48, because 48 is possible now. Maybe a 48, a 60, like basically the same cameras that are on the OnePlus 8 right now. You know what I mean? So
except the previous generation. So it would be the, I forget the chipset number for the sensor. It would be a 4-something instead of the 5, the first generation of Sony's 48 megapixel sensors.
But yeah, the I don't know. It's an interesting prospect that I was thinking about, because it came to mind, because I always will remember, this is going to be a weird story to tell, but I will always remember the OnePlus X having been in existence, because I flew up to San Francisco to cover that phone. It had the ceramic backing. It looked pretty cool. Like, you know, it was interesting that OnePlus was trying something different. Maybe they were a little bit ahead of their time at that moment, which is why I think now might be actually a good time to try it again. But that night when I got back, it was literally a turnaround trip. 1 hour flight up in the morning, came back in the afternoon. I met up with my then girlfriend that night, who then broke up with me. So I'll always remember that day.
It was a heartbreak day.
Yeah. But the other thing that I was going to say is this speculation of mine about having a mid-range version of a OnePlus is less about the consumer saving money, because a lot of people in the live chat are actually saying just buy last year's flagships. I completely agree. From the consumer standpoint, last year's phones are still incredible. I guess I'm just sort of thinking about where OnePlus can still capture the public's attention, because right now we're literally seeing F in the chat from everybody because of the price of the OnePlus 8 Pro. Like, the expectations are always so high, and OnePlus almost never meets it, because the first expectation is it should be $400. And I still think that that's so hindsighted at this point.
Well, they set that expectation. That's their own fault. I mean, they built a brand based off of a budget flagship. They invented the budget flagship category, and now they're not even playing in it anymore. I mean, the OnePlus 8 is playing in it, but the 8 Pro definitely isn't.
Yeah.
I think you said from a consumer standpoint, and I think from a tech enthusiast standpoint, yes. Buy last year's flagship smartphone. It's going to be a better buy. You know what you're getting into. It's been reviewed 1,000 times. But from a general consumer standpoint, that's why the A line for Samsung is so successful. The A line outsells the S line
by
50%. Everyone's like, oh, the Samsung Galaxy S20, whatever, it's the best, whatever. Samsung's A line outsells double of what the S line is, simply because of price. And a consumer,
and that's what I'm saying. They should have that segment.
But see, the OnePlus has never been a general consumer brand, and they're trying to change that, but they haven't been. They've been an enthusiast brand. They started as an enthusiast brand. They've marketed to enthusiast brands. That's who they're catering to. So they have to have a dynamic shift into, we are a general consumer brand, not just an enthusiast brand. And here's where the general consumer differs from the enthusiast. The enthusiast knows how fast a Snapdragon 865 processor is. They know about different types of RAM. They know about different types of storage inside a phone, what's going to make it faster. A consumer goes in and says, I want a cheap phone. Oh, here's a phone that's 12 months old. Oh, here's a phone that's the same price and it's 1 month old. Oh, I'll buy the 1 month old phone. They don't, like, the general consumer still has no clue what a flagship chipset is. They have no clue what 90 hertz refresh rate means. They have no clue about all of these specifications. They simply want a new phone at a certain price, and they'll pay that price and not a penny more. And so that's where the fundamental shift needs to happen for OnePlus if it wants a mid-range device. They need to shift their marketing focus from the enthusiast to the general consumer. That means commercials on TV. That means billboards. That means ads in magazines. It's not just, we're going to hit all the tech sites with banner ads for the new OnePlus device around the launch, and that's all we're going to do for marketing, because that does not work for the general consumer.
Yeah, agreed. And it's good that you created that distinction. And it's because of that distinction that I say, you know, you did it one time before. It's obvious that you have the resources, or you at least have the mindset to try it. Like, it might be time to bring back the OnePlus X. It just might be. And that's where you put all of that energy into marketing it, using the clout of T-Mobile and Verizon, because now you're on those carriers. And now there's a $400 OnePlus device with all the same level of hype and the kind of marketing strategy that OnePlus has, but now backed by the fact that it's cheaper and also the carriers are pushing it.
Yeah. Well, the fact that now we have three carriers instead of four, So T-Mobile and Verizon make up about 70% of the U.S. market for carrier support. So, yeah. I mean, 7 out of 10 consumers going into their cell phone stores are going to be seeing a OnePlus device and have that as an option. So the general brand awareness for the phones is going to, and the brand overall is going to be going up within the next 12 months, as long as we can actually go to stores anytime soon.
That's true. T-Mobile.com, Verizon.com. But even then, like, imagine a $450 OnePlus phone that is still solid on Amazon. You know, that will still come up like hotcakes. Like, one of the biggest losses that we had on the Amazon storefront was Honor, because Honor used to kill it on Amazon. They used to have everyone buying their stuff because it was $300, $400, and it still was a solid experience. That's a vacuum that still needs to be filled. So that's just kind of where my mindset was with that, because like I said earlier, the OnePlus X is always somewhere in my mind. But yeah, I think that pretty much does it. Like, those are just some thoughts that we have on the OnePlus 8, the OnePlus 8 Pro. Anything that you want to plug to the audience here? You did a lot of work the last couple of days.
So just to be clear, I did not pull an overnighter, but I did publish 6 videos today.
Exactly.
I got them all done in advance. I planned out all of last week and over the weekend. But yeah, we've over on fandroid.com, we have all of our coverage, first impressions, unboxings, camera comparisons, camera test with both devices. So if you want to head over to fandroid.com and check that out, or youtube.com/fandroid. Lots of stuff to look at, and more camera comparisons coming this week. I've got about, I don't know, 17 other phones that I'm lining it up against to see which device it needs to be. I mean, the cameras are good. I'll say that. I don't know if they're as good as Samsung's cameras or the Pixel, but they are easily the best cameras that we've seen on a OnePlus device.
Absolutely. With that said, we're going to go ahead and call it on this one. Thanks everybody for kicking it with us here on IG Live. I'm going to do my best to cut up segments of this, because this is one of the ways that I get those 6 videos out, is I have these segments, cut them up, and then I B-roll them for YouTube. Look forward to those segments over on the YouTube channel, and subscribe to that if you haven't already. With that said, I guess you and I, Nick, we can go and stop our separate audio recordings. Don't forget to check the show notes so you can find all of the links for Nick Gray, editor-in-chief at Fandroid, and also for myself. You're going to want to follow my Instagram in particular, because whenever we do a podcast recording, I try to do them on Instagram Live. That way we have a little bit of an audience, so we have feedback and also potential Q&A segments and whatnot. But in general, it's a good way of getting a background look, a behind-the-scenes look, rather, at our process in creating this episode. Every week we're going to be trying to do that, so make sure you follow me at JVTechT on Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter at the same handle, because you know me, I'm JV. I love tech and I love to drink me some tea. All right. Another thanks to Nick Gray for being on this episode. Look forward to more episodes of Tech and Tea with Joshua Vergara. I'm looking to really ramp it up on this, because now I have a simpler host in order to upload the podcast. And also, I'm just looking to do an IG live every week, because we need that human interaction anyway. So look forward to the next one. And until then, I would just remind you to enjoy your tea, everybody. Buddy.